Blog Talk Radio.
Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Everyone, this is Diane, and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels a civilization into the next step? Join me over the next hour or so as I take you through the fifth dimension and beyond. Today is August the 7th, and it's 11:01 a.m., and it's 2014. Some pretty interesting, intense energy is going on right now. It's a lot of the energy has to do with going within and looking at things and shifting that energy and transmuting it, but also at the same time, you know, the heat of ascension and the divine feminine energy counteracting that ascension energy. And at the same time, we're reaching out to each other to extend the consciousness. You know, it's an ascension within us of the energy expanding and converging of different realms and things like that. But at the same time, we're extending that beyond ourselves because of the oneness and connection to Source and God. I want to talk a little bit about what I talked about last Friday. I didn't do a show last Wednesday, and you know, I'm doing the show that I usually do Wednesday on Thursday. So, you know, it's like energy's all over the place, but it's because, you know, things are really shifting. So I want to touch a little bit on last week's show because it has to do with what I'm going to talk about on today's show. And you know, there's a lot of information, so I will try to explain it as concisely as I can. Anyway, if anybody wants to call in, it's also a live show, and I do take callers. The number is 646-200-4169, okay? The animals I want to talk today are the raven and the squirrel, and I want to talk about slate and to do with rocky terrain and things because, you know, we're treading on newness and unknowing and the subconscious that we've kept, or humanity's kept within them for so long. So there's a lot going on. And, at the same time, a lot of energy is, or gateways, like I was talking about on last week's show, are shutting down. And new ones are opening up. And I see things energetically, so that's why I want to talk about that. And also, this Sunday, August the 10th, there's going to be a full moon in Aquarius. And this is a full supermoon when the moon is the closest it can get at the Earth. So this is the second one of this year. And, you know, there's a lot going on with that, too. Last week, Friday, August the 1st at 11 a.m., I did a show. And I kind of started it off talking about past life stuff and karmic stuff. And I noticed a lot of people lately are wanting to talk about things with me. And I tend to be a reflection of that, so I've been talking about a lot of past things. And a friend of mine didn't want to talk about his past stuff, but started to. And then he got angry at me. This is kind of funny, but it's just the way it goes. And so I'm going to take a little look at that, this ancestral karmic stuff. You know, at this point in time, you know, karmic stuff is 3D stuff. And because we're expanding and going into higher frequency, there's a release of this, you know, karmic stuff that we've held within ourselves at a cellular level. So it's important that if you're feeling this and you're aware of it, to release it, okay? So that, you know, I talked a fair amount about that on last week's show. And, you know, fifth dimensional consciousness isn't stagnant consciousness like 3D. It's expanding, and it's expanding within and expanding around the world around us. So, you know, we reach out to people around us. Some people may be expressing things and hooking up with, maybe hooking up isn't the right word, or being around people that are, you know, making them really face a lot of this stuff, and they want to run away from it. Maybe this is not the time to run away from it. It's the time to go deep and really look at what you have to face, because these people are bringing this out in humanity right now. You know, people around you are bringing this out. I also talked last week about changing the way we take in light and in, you know, shifting our energy and that sort of thing. And I talked about Zoltanite, the stone that takes on a kind of chameleon thing depending on what you're wearing and what light you're in. But the funny thing is, a lot of this stone has never seen the light of day because it's a new type of stone, and it's only found in Turkey. So this stone is coming out into the sunlight and taking in more light now. And I did talk about that last week as showing that humanity is taking in different light now. And I was seeing some doubles of energy. We can be in two places at one time because we are multidimensional. You know, but it manifests in a physical way, in a physical realm, because, you know, we are in a physical realm. And I wanted, you know, I talked a little bit about healing with light last week too. And I talked about the raven, so I want to talk about the raven with the color within the raven. I know I talked about the bear, the possum, and the rat, and the snake last week, and I touched on the eagle. I also talked about, I touched on the brain stuff and how, because of polarity, the brain split, and we have, you know, the right and left side of the brain. But people who tend to be in higher consciousness or fifth dimensional consciousness have both sides of the brain working simultaneously. And I would spirit to believe that some people actually, maybe that are being born now, don't actually have a split in the brain. So it would be interesting to see what happens with that. I also touched on how the old gods exist in a different reality, but they're shifting their energy too. They will no longer be the energy that they were before. But, you know, many people still talk about the gods, right? But and everybody wonders, where do they go? Well, as long as we do not put energy into something, it ceases to exist, because we create what goes on around us. So if we want to create heaven on earth here, as a collective, we can do that. There's going to be a mass global meditation going on, but it's centering in Toronto, Ontario tomorrow. And so I also want to touch a little bit about that too. And, you know, you can be in a meditative state tomorrow at different times. And it all joins in as a collective. So it's important that humanity reach out to each other right now. And we come into our own power. You know, we've been focusing on ourselves and looking within ourselves and doing the inner work. But now we can extend it to people around us, and we can extend that energy to people around us too, to give them their own inner power. I talk about, you know, straddling realms and connecting with the divine creative energy and communicating this with others. That's why I do the show. And, you know, in 3D, you know, you hear about, you know, get out of the box. You've heard that expression. Well, humanity is breaking down, you know, these old, well, I did not paradigms, but old ways, and revamping and carrying it into new paradigms and new ways of seeing things. It's all about revamping energy and the fifth dimensional expanding energy. You know, we've been talking about these Uranus-Pluto squares, and we just went into, you know, the fifth Uranus-Pluto square, which is the throat chakra, which has opened us up to speaking our truth. I have so many people coming up to me now talking about and expressing their truth. And they say, well, I don't know why I'm talking about this with you. Well, there's something within me that balances energy that opens people up to speaking their truth. And it's just part of the fifth dimensional consciousness, okay? So if you find that you're starting to do that, it just may mean that you're opening up and expanding energy within yourself. And I also talk about converging of energy and how we understand things and focusing how we understand. And to what we've looked at in the past that hasn't worked. So fifth dimensional consciousness is all about flow. It's all about perception and understanding in that flow in the moment. You know, when we live in fifth dimensional consciousness, we feel love within us. There's no judging or confining, you know, like the box that I was talking about. Fifth dimensional consciousness is an open thing. It's, you know, you open up two things. So love is included in that. And, you know, it's opening ourselves up to sharing with other people too. I was talking about antidote, that seeing light as antidote, shifting our inner flow in expansion. As we take in more light, it allows us to open up parts of ourselves that we've been holding tight onto, which is including the feminine creative energy. So as we open that aspect of ourselves, then we're speaking our truth and we're opening ourselves up to hidden information. You know, I talk about these things and people say, well, how do you know all this? Well, I just open myself up and go with the flow. And the information is just flows, okay? It's different than, you know, going to a website and looking up information or, you know, looking in books, but in some ways, the internet has everything there. You know, it's like everything is there, and so in its own way, it is a semi-type of flow. You know, I also talked last week about ascension symptoms, ringing in the ears and the head and the chakras expanding. And right now, you know, the throat chakra has and now it's the forehead chakra, so it's really in the head energy. And it's, you know, it's funny, unless you look in the mirror, you can't really see your face unless you kind of look, shut one eye and look, and then shut the other eye and look. You can't see the whole thing. But we're opening ourselves up to new things, okay? When you have expanded consciousness, you can shut your eyes and see everything around you and see things that are there in front of you without even having your eyes open. So you can actually look and see your face. And, you know, some people say they can kind of look at their whole body and know what's going on within themselves. You know, so it's not splitting from yourself. It's just knowing yourself. And the energy in 3D is more stagnant. So the physical form is, you know, more rigid. But in fifth dimensional consciousness, we can even change the way we look, you know, how we present ourselves to people just by thinking about it. Because, you know, our ability to manifest, and this is the year of manifestation, it really starts to increase once we expand these chakras within ourselves. It kind of becomes one big chakra, like the globe of life surrounding us. But at the same time, it's open. It's not like a box. So we're going through convergence of realities and expansion of our energy. And it's all about, you know, balancing of this energy at the same time. I talked a little bit about quantum jumping and looking at things. You know, once you come out of time and space and you realize in the moment, it goes beyond the moment, it goes into eternal time. So there's a lot more things that open up to you. I did touch upon how some people have limits and box set around them. And if they have limits, they can control themselves to some degree. And I'm talking about psychopathic kind of people that don't have higher chakras open. But this is time of truth, so a lot of these people may be expressing themselves in some ways that may not be very positive. So it's important that we put out intentions to have positive things around us. You know, even, you know, 3D, this is reflected in wars and those sorts of things. Fifth element, you know, I was talking also about, you know, a dice and how, you know, sometimes planets are aligned in this shape of five. And it's like God energy and the expansion of humanity energy too, but it also causes balance and homeostasis. Everything's interrelated within ourselves, from this tiniest, atom to the cells and to the expansive cosmos. It's all part of that energy that the divine being created. Everything affects everything else. You know, in polarity, which means, you know, we have 3D is a world that exists in extremes, right? So if we have love, we have hate, we have fear. There's words that have actually gone to the opposite meaning. But, you know, I won't focus on that here. But, you know, some words totally meant something different, like sacrifice. And it actually ended up meaning, you know, hurting something, but it was actually a gift at the beginning. I was talking last week about detriment and determinant, you know, that some, you know, some words, they're just really similar, but they may mean things that are maybe opposites or quite a bit different than they present in one way. I keep getting that this is the pre-tickle phase. It's a phase of a lot of balancing, a lot of looking deep, a phase of reaching out to others. And it's reflected in the way the astrological signs are coming out right now. But, you know, everybody says, oh, we act a certain way because of the stars, but it's exact opposite. The stars reflect what's going on within ourselves. You know, so it seems like a quiet period. A lot of people may feel energetic, but there's a lot of things going on within us. You know, I was talking last week about water trines and was explaining how they balance, you know, partly the physical ascension energy is fire energy. And these water trines are just reflective of the balance of that energy, because sometimes people would try to expand themselves. You know, they would internally combust, and things are happening now that within us that we're taking in more light, that is allowing us to balance these things. You know, people have been saving things and hoarding things. It's just a reflection of not wanting to release that energy, okay? It's easier for beings now to go through this ascension process. But we had to look at the dark energy and things that we gave away and look at them and take them back. And part of that was pressing that feminine energy. I talked a lot last week about the Mars and Scorpio energy from July 25th to the mid part of September, the 7-week period. I kept seeing it as the part of ourselves that we gave up, the immortal part, but had to do with the feminine energy too. It's just reflective of that. And it just represents starting to look at the oneness, the inner journey first. And there's many octaves within it, and self-empowerment and healing within ourselves and resolving stuff that I was talking about at the beginning of the show and beginning of last show about that karmic stuff that we've... And I keep seeing new passages opening and people expressing extreme emotions, because to open up and balance energy, the extreme has to be felt. And, you know, part of this closing these passages has to do with the old rim gods. We're leaving all that energy behind. The balance, the emotion, and looking at it gives us power, okay? So I'm saying that it's important that we don't not look at emotion. It's important that we do look at emotion, but we look at it in a positive way, and it gives us power. It, you know, sometimes people provoke emotion in us so they can grab onto that power and then take the energy. So as long as we're balancing that emotion, you know, people aren't able to do that. And to the greater extent anyway, that's not being allowed. You know, you hear about people going around the world trying to find gold. Really, the balance and the emotion and the beauty and that solar kind of energy within us is actually within us. We don't have to go anywhere to find it. But in a physical realm, it's manifested in that way to extremes, right? So people are running around trying to find gold. And when you really think about it in fifth dimensional consciousness, it kind of seems kind of silly. But people in 3D consciousness see, oh, this is important. You know, we got to save gold. We got to have gold. But it's all about the ego and materialistic and hoarding wealth and that sort of thing. Fifth dimensional consciousness, you don't have to do that. Things come to you in the moment. And, you know, it's hard for people to understand that. So I'm trying to give you a greater picture of it. How we see the greater picture and how we relate and we see things and we shift within our mind how we see things at a cellular level even shifts us within. So, you know, I was talking about how we look at money and how we look at power and things like that. In fifth dimensional consciousness, we see inner power. We don't need to control other people to get power because we have it. We don't, you know, it's not seeking power. It's being aware that we are light beings and we do have that within us. Mars in Scorpio, it's reaching out to others to heal and to heal the karmic stuff within us. Leo energy is about individuality. Scorpio is expansion, how we influence others. And, you know, we're in a physical realm, so there's a lot of overlap and bumping into other people, you know, if you live in that consciousness. You know, some people are kind of straddling both consciousness now, and some people are either in one or the other. You know, I tend to straddle both consciousness because I'm here to help other people. And we're going into that collective consciousness, you know, the rebirthing energy and the unity consciousness. You know, I was saying, I was seeing babies and expansion. It's like, you know, humanity is going from a sippy cup and going to the flow, the river. And, you know, Neptune is a cycle of water sign and the way that we do things. You know, the unity consciousness will be bursting forth for a lot of people very soon. You know, and I also touched on the eclipses that we've already experienced, and there's two more coming in October. They allow us to see things in different ways and different pathways opening up, but also those Mercury retrogrades before each Uranus-Pluto square also allows us to look at those different things. But there's an intense time that's allowing us to do that, you know, coming up this weekend. And it's like the tickle time, you know, when, you know, you get this energy that's kind of almost like static electricity hitting you. And but it's changing the flow of energy within you. So from being split and polaric and wars and hate of 3D energy, or this physical realm, is shifting that energy. The creative feminine energy stabilizes this. So it's important that we don't down this energy anymore. And it actually takes us away from polarity. It balances that energy. And, you know, we're focusing in fifth dimensional consciousness on the moment. So energy that's being released around us, we have a sense of it and we embrace it. So when we release things at a cellular level and we look at things, we're able to release it, okay? And the troubled stuff within us is what we have to look at now. And a lot of humanity has done a lot of that. I talked last week about, you know, the dark part of what the original ones found within themselves, and they saw it as a flaw. You know, but when you think about it, you know, a diamond is clear, and if it has a bit of black spots in it, it's still very strong, right? But it's, we can release energy, but we don't have to put it somewhere. And, you know, all energy just keeps moving, right? And so in fifth dimensional consciousness, the energy is flowing. You see, when we remove that dark part of ourselves, it causes splitting and polarity. You know, I was talking about these stones that reflect different types of light, and it's showing our light. We're reflecting different parts of ourselves that we suppressed for so long. You know, I was seeing those two screens and splitting, and this is what, you know, is being balanced within humanity. We are many colors, white light. In the rainbow, there's seven different colors that most people can see, but in fifth dimensional consciousness, there's other colors that go beyond the seven. And humanity is expanding beyond seven chakras right now, too. You know, I was talking last week about many people experiencing and seeing rats. Well, it's about releasing secrets. It's about that feminine energy that has been suppressed for so long, the subconscious. You know, it's funny. Somebody kept seeing black rats, and I kept thinking of the dark plague, you know, the black plague. And the bubonic plague. And, you know, the dark was released. Well, there's been time loops that have happened periodically. And that dark energy is being reconfigured. It's not just being released and compartmentalized and put over into some dark forces. It's being changed. And, you know, you've probably heard about the Ebola coming out right now. Part of it seems very negative, but also part of it is indicating there's a new renaissance period, a golden age opening up. Because, you know, after the dark ages, you know, the renaissance happened after that. A lot of different things happened, but, you know, there's always those periods of time that are reflections of that, because we are still in the physical realm. There's a drive within us to create. There's a drive within us to get ahead or to go ahead in our evolution. So it's important that we don't, you know, we're open to that, but not push at the same time. You know, some people say, oh, I want to ascend and I got to do this and I got to do that. Just put yourself open to it. You know, the social aspect of Mars and Scorpio, an expansive opening within us, and this energy that's shifting is pretty amazing. It's all about not looking at things as problems, because that's 3D. It's about adapting. You know, you may see people around you, and you may think they're causing problems, but you've actually attracted those people to have look at part of yourself that you've been suppressing. And they're going to help you look at those things, you know, whether it's childhood issues or past life issues. So, you know, I've noticed a lot of people are talking to me like 5-6 hours straight. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other night, and I didn't get off the phone till 4 a.m. But it wasn't, it's all about understanding and opening yourself up and allowing people to flow. And when somebody first starts to flow in fifth dimensional consciousness, it's pretty amazing. And you lose track of all space and time anyway. And I talked last week of strategizing and looking at things, you know, when you look at things in the moment, they unfold in the moment, but we're also still in the physical realm. So, and open yourself up to this feminine energy and things will unfold for you. I know a lot of people have been upset and frustrated. It's important that we do feel those to some degree, but we also look at things in not in a detached way, but from a loving, gentle, you know, don't take it personally sort of way. And, you know, that grand water trine that happened, you know, in April and May was counteracting a lot of this energy of the cardinal cross. And the ellipsis was helping with that energy. You know, the feminine energy is expanding. You know, things have been going on. You know, I talked about Thor's hammer and digging deep within ourselves. But at the same time, there's balance. It's about evolution. You know, I want to talk about that. Last week I talked about the new moon and Leo energy and, you know, the opening up and in love. But also there's this Venus energy that's coming up, and it allows us to expand and open ourselves up, you know, like the age of Aquarius, you know, that in the 60s, you know, they had the free love sort of thing. In a way, it's a little bit like that this weekend, but at the same time, it's opening ourselves up deeply. It's a lot of energy happening simultaneously, like that dice, that, you know, all this balance, all these things happening. And, you know, it's at the same time, it's about speaking our truth. And, you know, when we look at the broad side of the hammer, it's more gentle than, you know, the end of the hammer. Think of it as, it's a, you know, we could think about it as work, or we could think about it as a process, okay? Part of it's inner work, part of it's opening up to source, it's an intense energy. People are speaking their truth. It's important not to take offense, but also you can say to somebody, you know, maybe you could say that in a nicer way or express yourself, but it's us too, you know, expressing ourselves and our truth in ways that are positive. And at the same time, not losing sight of what we need to do to shift consciousness here, okay? It's an inner evolution. And it's also a planetary evolution. It's also a cosmic evolution. And these water healing trines are very healing, okay? You know, I've been talking about people lately, and they've been crying and say, you know, like, I feel really horrible and all this stuff's coming up, but I'm really trying to look at it. And when I cry, I feel a lot better after. That water energy is very, very healing. You know, I was talking about you know, these are times where we can make a lot of headway. So this meditation that's happening tomorrow is a collective consciousness energy, okay? This Mars and Scorpio trine retrograde Neptune and Pisces that's going on right now, it's pretty intense, but it's also focused energy. And to some people that don't understand what's going on, it can be very uncertain. They can feel, you know, some type of nervousness, like twitchy kind of behavior. That's because they don't understand what's going on. But if you do understand what's going on and open yourself up to that, it's very forceful. So, and it's also a time where we really open up our knowing energy in the forehead chakra, right? So it's maybe a time for some people that they've been in a situation that hasn't been good for them for a long time, but they're gaining that energy and drive to take action right now. But, you know, some people may be avoiding confrontation when action has to be taken. So, you know, this global meditation that's happening tomorrow, and it's taking place in Toronto, but, you know, it's taking place all over the world. This is taking action. So to be part of it is taking action. You know, it's the ability to adapt to shifting and energy and the feminine creative energy within us. It's all about opening yourself up to that creative energy, okay? You know, this Mercury conjuncts Sun in Leo that's going to be happening tomorrow is allowing us to open up to our own power and be very powerful. The Mercury and Leo trine retrograde Uranus in Aries also, you know, is pretty powerful energy too. I you know, I could talk a lot about a lot of that stuff, but I will. Now, I was talking about how certain signs allow us to open up to things in a kind of cosmic sort of way. Well, Aquarius and Capricorn and Sagittarius do that. also, it's the moon in Capricorn today, so there's some opening to us being open to that, okay? The Mars trine, Neptune, and the Grand Trine, that Aquarius full moon, but it's a super moon. So the energy is very, very powerful. And, you know, this Leo new moon energy is still actually very powerful, and it's still holding on. You know, it's I guess this Mars trine Neptune and this Aquarius full moon energy is pretty powerful. I think it's in 19 degrees of Aquarius, and the sun is in Leo. So it allows us to balance some energy that might be too deep for humanity to take right now, and it's empowering us. The sun in Leo is empowering us. The sun is conjunct with Mercury and Lilith. That's pretty powerful energy, too. That's allowing us to look at the feminine side. And there's Venus, feminine energy, too. But the Mercury and also, you know, this sun conjunct with Mercury and Lilith squaring Saturn in Scorpio is pretty powerful energy. If we don't understand the energy, it can be pretty undaunting and depressing. You know, this forming a T-square, which is pretty powerful energy. You know, I was talking last week about certain energies can be detached and impersonal, but this full moon in Aquarius is allowing us to look at things in a way that's that we don't take offense, we don't take things personally, but we can look at things in and feel emotion in a more in-depth way. And also, we're dealing with a powerful aspect of ourselves that's going to allow us to look at this feminine frustration of, you know, that which Lilith represents. You know, humanity has been, the feminine part has been repressed, right? And anyway, we're expressing that now. So it's pretty powerful energy. It's a time, you know, when we're squaring with Saturn and Scorpio, we have to dig deep and go be strong within ourselves. And that Leo energy is doing that. But, you know, this Mars thing is also allowing us to express anger, too. Or some people, if they don't balance it, they're more in 3D, they may be getting angry. So, you know, a lot of this stuff with war in the Middle East and stuff like that is you know, pretty intense stuff. So this Saturn that makes us go so deep may take us away from collective consciousness. So, but with this meditation that we're doing tomorrow, it's going to help. You know, there's a lot of water signs balancing a lot of stuff right now. You know, Saturn is reflection, and Scorpio is going deep. And, you know, God, the creative energy that created all, wants us to do the work, wants us to go deep. And, there has been dark forces pulling at humanity, but we're going beyond that, okay? Like I said, you know, watch what you say to people. When you speak your truth, we do have control over it. We can look at what we're saying, but we can express ourselves at the same time. So when we're going through this meditation tomorrow, go into the reflection, look deep, but look at things with peace. Don't focus on, oh, we got to stop war on the planet. You know, when we focus on something, we can create more of what we don't want. So it's important that people that are meditating tomorrow focus in the moment, focus on us as a collective, us as ascending, and creating heaven here, okay? So, you know, some people may find that the relationships they've been keeping was because they were very polaric and wanted to create havoc in their lives to experience extremes. Well, you'll find, hey, you know, some people are realizing I don't want this anymore, but they didn't realize that they didn't want it. You know what I mean? But now you'll become more aware of what's going on. You know, Venus in Cancer, you know, the balancing of the feminine and the child within us, you know, Saturn and Scorpio, there's a lot of stuff going on. So it's all about, you know, balancing energy. It's all about, you know, that anniversary, August the 4th of Vimy Ridge, you know, I was looking at that and, you know, people still finding things from war. It's important that we, you know, focus more on how we can shift, because for so long things have been this way here. You know, I just noticed lately that I've noticed people that haven't been really doing sports for a while, or they've been doing that inner work, have retreated. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day. I said, I don't know why I haven't worked out for a long time. I just don't feel, I feel like I'm doing a lot of thinking. I'm expressing myself about things that I haven't liked in my life. And physically, I felt really wonked. And now they're like, whoa, I got a lot of this energy. And but it's you know, it's the energy is for us to do the work. It's to look at the things that we've hidden. You know, the Zoltanite is allowing us to see the light, okay? It's representing that, I should say. You know, parts of us were lost, and we wanted to lose these parts to become more beautiful. And, you know, with who's to say that how we present ourselves in our all together isn't what's beautiful, okay? That's kind of a distorted type of energy when people think that way. But that's 3D, and that's okay if a person's still in that mode. You know, the eagle is all about magic and the way we see things. So the eagle right now is really important. And, you know, that totem I'm going to talk about a little bit more. We're children of God. You know, people say we're born in a certain way, and our environment changes us. Well, in a physical realm with polaric kind of energy, anything can happen, right? But it's when we balance that energy that we can create that magic, that transmutative feminine energy that really, how do we change? How do we sublimate and change things that we, to have what we need? It's about balance for one thing. But it's also knowing that we can do it. It's all about not feeling that we need to suppress our emotion. It's about acknowledging emotion. We create change around us with change within us. So what can you do to change what is going on within you? Maybe you have these thoughts that keep expressing themselves, or word mumbo jumbo or word sandwiches that keep repeating a certain phrase over and over again, that you're no good or whatever. I'm just using that example. It's very distorted. But how do you change that part of yourself? Well, I guess part of it I've talked about before is acknowledging that it is part of what you've been suppressing. And it's about looking at it and balancing that energy and saying it's okay. That, you know, what happened in the past, and I don't have to hang on to it anymore. Fifth dimensional consciousness is the consciousness of love. And, you know, humanity has formed a collective consciousness of fifth dimensional consciousness. Well, actually, it's always been there. But they're going to do something about it now. They're not going to turn a blind eye to what's going on the planet anymore. This is really going to change a lot more as more of humanity expands the energy within themselves. You know, when you hold something in a box, you can't expand, right? And, you know, as you take in more light, you can expand. And with light, you can see more, and there's more perception. As a whole, as humanity looks at things within themselves and sees stuff, it's okay for them to step in and say, hey, you know, you don't have to say, oh, you're like little kids and you're fighting war. But we can stop that, you know, with things that we do as a collective. We can stop people. And it's important that we don't hide things within ourselves. It's important that, you know, we don't have to tell everybody everything about ourselves if we don't want to, but it's important that we don't hide that truth from ourselves. It's about going deep. Coming out of that reclusive period, you know, people putting the door, you know, new pathways are opening up, emerging, and sharing with other people. You know, make things work. How can we change things here to make things work? How can we make things beautiful here? You know, instead of thinking, well, what can we do to make all the rotten things stop? It's, you know, it's all about what can we do to make things beautiful around us, and what can we create within ourselves that reflects the beauty around us. So it's the phase now of getting tickled. You know, other people, you know, energy is about energy meeting other energy. So when I say tickle, you know, people come and touch other people because they want to feel that energy or to have that healing energy. So when I say tickle, it means to open up to that energy, okay? It's not a time to fight deceptions because, you know, that's part of the energy that these rim gods use to divert humanity. You know, it's important for us just to be aware of what's going on. It's not important for us to focus on it, but it's important for us to be proactive in and say, hey, this isn't going to happen anymore because this isn't who we are. And the feminine nurturing energy, you know, that is what is healing within us right now. The feminine water energy is transmuting us and changing us to who we are. You know, I talked about Solomon's seal before and how it heals an aspect of ourselves. You know, plants are just a reflection of things that we need around us, you know. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I got a lot of dandelions on my lawn. You know, but I'm talking about people that don't spray their lawns and stuff, because that kind of is another whole other thing. But, you know, people say to me, they go, how come you don't have a lot of these weeds? And I said, well, I only get them when I need to do clearing. You know, dandelions are very clearing of the liver and within ourselves. So things will grow around you that you need to actually take in within yourself. You know, I talked about snakes last week and the rebirth and the alchemy of healing. You know, a lot of people see snakes as evil. That's just energy of, you know, the healing energy within us. I was seeing some dead squirrels. I was seeing stuff on the television about people remodeling their home and finding nuts in the walls and storage and stuff like that. You know, I think I talked last week about, and over the last few weeks, about kidney and anger. You know, people get stones in the kidney. Stones and stagnant, calcified energy, right? So it's important to express this anger, not hold it within ourselves, because we're going to store it, you know, and this is what the squirrel energy represents. You know, I kept seeing this rabbit eating my rose bush all the time. Well, the rabbit is the expansion of humanity, but it's changing the rose, you know, the way the rose grows, and the collective consciousness is changing. I was seeing, my backyard, this was a couple years ago, I said to my rose bush, I said, you don't have to be white anymore, my climbing rose, you can be red. And then last year it turned red. And then I said to it, you can go white again, but if you want, you can have a couple of roses on it. And sure enough, it turned white with two red roses on it. I talked to the rose bush I had in the front, and I said, it was orange. And I said, you can be white. But the funny thing was, there was one white rose and one light peach rose. So it was just showing we're taking in the light. We're taking in that energy. I talked, too, about rose-colored glasses. makes, you know, it's an expression that you're seeing things, you're not seeing things the way they really are. It's important we take those glasses off and we see things the way they really are. So this meditation tomorrow that I was talking about, it's about opening our eyes to things, to what we need to do to make things the best we can, you know. Trees. I've been seeing a lot about trees. The trees were talking to me again, telling me that once you do a certain sequence of looking at the sun in the morning, that you touch a tree and you go in your bare feet. It allows you to release a lot of that negativity that you have within yourself. And trees have something to do with creating heaven on earth here and the multidimensional aspect of ourselves. You know, maple trees have to do with knowledge. Actually, trees have to do with knowledge and meditation. They have to do with fertility and seeing our potentials. And the bear, you know, like I was talking about last week, has something to do with this too. It's about awakening and applying it, you know, and strategizing and planning what we can do to really open this up within ourselves. You know, this super moon in Aquarius is really going to allow us to expand this energy, but all the other energy that's going on is allowing us to open up to that too. It's not about forgetting our past. It's about what can we do to learn from it and what didn't work, and then we can leave that behind. It's about leaving stuff we don't need behind, okay? The knowing in the head and the alchemy, I kept getting that it has to do with bear energy too, okay? A lot of people are having headaches, they're having stuffiness. And I was talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, not being able to see around the face, you know. You can look around your body, but you can't really see in the back too well either, you know, unless you have a mirror. But that's where the rigidity, where the spine is. And that's ancient, you know, held energy, linear time energy. We're opening up with that. We're taking in more light. Our bones are becoming more like a child's bones, you know, like I think they called it green bones. I kept hearing that song, you know, it don't come easy. And then I was thinking about, you know, all that energy that had to do with opening ourselves up and looking at stuff. And, you know, how this war is going on in the Middle East and stuff, and how the children have been hurt. And, you know, places were bombed where there were schools, and they knew that they were there. It's almost like the child part of ourselves allows us to have access to the feminine, you know, suppressed energy. So it just symbolizes that, you know, some aspect of 3D humanity don't want to open themselves up to that. I kept seeing bridges to other parts of ourselves and stone, you know, how stone is formed and how it changes. You know, sometimes, you know, you have slate, but you have shale too, and when it's put under a lot of heat and energy, it gets stronger, right? Just like a diamond, coal, you heat that up. It's changing energy, changing colors, and changing the way we see things. And I talked about that on last week's show. Okay. I did talk about the blood-brain barrier a little bit last week and the GMO and all that stuff, but everything's happening in the head now. And it has to do with expanding ourselves to collective consciousness. I just want to see if anybody has any questions. You know, I've been talking a lot. And if anybody wants to, oh, yeah, there's somebody in area code 231. Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane speaking. Hello?
Hi, Diane.
Who am
Hello,
I speaking to?
Hello, can you
to?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
this
you
is
really
Sarah.
Well. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I called in a while ago in May, and I'm the one who had the miscarriage in May.
Okay.
So I've been dealing with that since then.
That's a lot to deal with.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. It's been good some days and hard others, and just been talking to a lot of women who've had them and asking them about their experience and wondering why it happened to me, why, you know, like why did it happen the way that it did, and, you know, if there was any way that I...
Is that important to you to know why?
It is important to me for some reason. I don't, because I thought we were done having kids. My husband had had a vasectomy, and I didn't know.
It's like you got a miracle and then it was taken away. Is that what you kind of
felt?
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, that's kind of the way that I feel. And I feel like I'm, you know, there's not that many people that it has happened to. I mean, there's many people who've had multiple miscarriages that I've talked to, but...
yeah, I've had them myself.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, and I was just wondering, you know, like, was this like some sort of sign?
Children.
Well, to you?
Things happen to make us look at something.
Okay.
Maybe there's an aspect of yourself, the child within yourself, that you're supposed to look at. But just know that any being or created life force never dies.
Okay.
You know, that child is still existing.
I read somewhere online where, like, sometimes the child decides that they don't want to be born at some point, and then they just decide to go back. So I didn't know,
right now,
like, yeah,
if it would help you, but I don't think it will. But, you know, a lot of people on the planet and babies are deciding, yeah, I don't want to go there. I want to be there, you know. But the thing is not to blame yourself.
Yeah, okay.
It's important not to do that.
That's hard not to do that, too.
Yeah, I know. In a 3D world, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen that are to the extreme, right? And then you feel extreme emotion. It's important that you do feel that emotion. And to, you know, you're right by trying to have understanding about what I think with time and you expanding yourself, it will all come to you.
Yeah,
I don't think it's important
feel...
that I tell you what it means. I think it's important that you connect with that part of yourself and don't be concerned that it won't come to you, because it will.
Okay.
Because it
just
did come to,
like,
me.
Maybe it's because I'm supposed to do other things. I'm not supposed to sit home.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it just had to do with the decision that the child made not to want to experience that again.
Okay.
Make a choice in the future to, when things have shifted completely, to do it then.
Okay.
Well, think about it. In a way, it was a smart choice in a lot of ways. I'm talking for the child.
Right.
Not because you aren't a great mother, but maybe they've experienced that over and over and over again. And they thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I've learned from that. I really don't want to, and if I do this, I'm going to have to experience it again.
Oh,
so if it wasn't out of being selfish.
A new baby coming in, I wouldn't want to go either. You know, I don't blame it. Like, I'd rather be in a peaceful place. So
many people saying they've got family members and really young people that are dying. And they're saying, well, what's going on? Why is everybody...
That happened in my husband's family, actually, recently. Somebody was... it wasn't anybody that I knew, but it was a family member of my marriage daughter that was 18 years old, and she was 8.5 months pregnant, and she was murdered. So it was just very, very sad. Like, oh,
that's
my gosh.
Very,
you know, like,
terrible.
It is. It's like a terrible thing, and I'm like, you know, why is all this stuff happening? And everything you're talking about is pretty much everything that's happening, even the kidney stones. And I just was on a phone call with a friend about kidney stones, and her husband had them, and, you know, we were talking about that Heaven is for Real movie, and It was just everything that you were bringing up, you know, even like my husband's like, I call him the bald eagle whisperer. Like he can spot them from anywhere. I swear it's like his, I don't know,
well,
what do you
totem,
call him?
That's
animal.
Why.
Yeah, it's his totem. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he just loves them and he can, you know, he'll be driving down the road and he'll look up in the sky and see if he can see it. And so now he's like teaching our kids, which are 5 and 7, to look for him now too. It's funny. He's just like that. And he does not want to try to have another one. And I'm still trying to emotionally get myself prepared for wanting another one, but I don't know if I should either.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's funny too, with me, I had the experience, the child comes to me in dream time and talks to me, the one I lost.
Really?
And it wasn't like an early miscarriage, you know. I was...
Yeah, that's what I had.
A ways along.
Okay.
And, you know, it's actually, in a way, it was like a comfort, realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I lost one. I had a set of twins, and I lost one during the pregnancy. And I lost another.
You lost one of the twins?
Yes, my daughter.
And then one survived?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I kept having dreams,
but
my daughter, when she was, like, little, and I realized that's not my daughter. It's actually, I wasn't even really in dream time. I was experiencing the child contacting me.
Really? And it was another girl, so you would have had twin girls?
Yeah. Identical twin.
Wow.
And then I lost another child, but that's a whole other story. And then, you know, lately I've had so many people, like the other night I started talking to somebody just met, and they talked to me for hours. And, you know, and then I just knew that the energy needed to be within them. But it was a lot of pain, you know. But it's so important for us to be supportive of people that are at that point where they're able to start expressing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quite a few years ago, I had this experience, and I was one of the last people to see this girl alive. But I've talked about it on the show briefly before, that I just had a funny feeling about getting in the car. And I said to my girlfriend, let's not go. And so this other girl went by herself, so my girlfriend and I didn't go. And the girl got murdered by the guy that was in the car, right? And so, you know, I felt, I suppressed that energy for a long time, but I felt if I had gone, maybe she wouldn't have got killed. So I had to do a lot of looking at that experience. And you know what? Sometimes things just happen.
Right.
You know, there's always a meaning in everything.
I was the same age as a friend of mine who was 18 years old, another person that I know, very young, murdered.
Well, this was in high school.
And I was in high school. Yeah. This happened.
But I never talked about it with anybody for like 33 years. I just totally didn't talk about it. Yeah.
I feel like that like shifted my thinking at such a young age of how unsafe the world can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but now we have to let that energy go.
Okay.
Because in fifth dimensional consciousness, we live in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose to look at what you've experienced and learn from it, but also you can choose to feel what you felt and, you know, let it go. It's not it's not that you're not acknowledging it. It's not that you never will think about it. But, you know, sometimes things, you know, if you feel like you haven't learned anything from it, it was just that the child didn't want to go through that experience again.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to see miracles.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wondered, like, was it supposed to be a sign of, okay, we're going to connect you so you're maybe just a little bit more connected, which I already was pretty connected to the other side, I guess they call it. But, like, I'm already, like, sensitive to all that. Like, I have to tell you, another story. I just went into a really old lighthouse, and I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, I felt lightheaded. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I'd been there years before, but I thought it was just because of the heights. Like, you walk up this huge set of stairs, you know, in these lighthouses.
You were actually having vertigo like the movie, right?
Yeah.
In the lighthouse.
It was like, yeah. Well, as soon as I walked in, I didn't feel good. So then I'm like, oh, well,
she's
is it like haunted?
Depressed energy in that movie, by the way.
But what's that?
Well, the girl, the character in the movie, Vertigo, she didn't realize that she actually had a past, you know, like not a past like memory, but an actual memory of a childhood thing.
Oh.
So sometimes you may have been there, or you may have experienced a place in past life that was very much like, and it may have been a negative experience, but the fact that you're feeling it and experiencing that you have some recall is means that going deep and releasing it. And these are times where we're going really deep. And everything's aligning over the next few days for us to be able to do so much.
Okay.
To release a lot of held karmic stuff. You know, we can choose to stay in 3D and hold all this karmic stuff and keep, you know, repeating stuff that we really, have we really learned anything from it? Does there come a time where that, you know, did we get caught in time loops? I think that's what happened. And we don't need to stay there. People thought, oh, well, I need to come back into another life, and then I've had this life, and I've had that life. We don't need to. What I'm talking about, we can experience things in the moment, in our light form. We've just gone so deep and forgotten so much. And, you know, maybe in a way, this child was a trigger for you to do that.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't seem very fair, and it seems, but it's looking at it in a kind of a polaric kind of way, extreme way. If you could, you know, and it's okay to do that. It's something that you probably feel that you need to do. But there'll be a time where you know, you won't forget either, that you will feel, you will have more understanding of the experience. If you choose to, say, well, it happened, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to feel sad, and then I'm going to choose to focus on other things that are going to make other people happy around me and myself, like my two children, my husband, and other people in my life.
Right. Yeah, so I'm trying to do that.
It's totally, but if you feel you can't do it, you know, you should think about it some more. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people say at a funeral, oh, I feel sad for your loss, you know, and stuff like that. And you know, and they can feel empathy to some degree, but no one can know what you feel like inside.
Well, I feel like no one really knows unless they've gone through it themselves.
Yeah.
And even some people, I mean, everybody grieves differently. So because some people go through it and no big deal. And other people, you know, like a friend of mine who...
But they might be suppressing it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Suppressing it with lots of, like, way too much medication. Like they can't feel anything. I wonder how they
well,
can even
I used to live in
kind of
Saskatoon. I used to live in Saskatoon, and I had my son, my oldest son, and I was, at the time I was on maternity leave, so I was helping out with the apartment building. And I came out of my apartment one day with my son. He must have been about maybe 3 months old or something, and she broke down and started to cry. This girl, she was gorgeous. But anyways, I don't want to get into all that, but who she was or what, it doesn't really matter. But she told me, she said, I had to give up my child. But what I found out, she had an abortion.
Oh, okay.
Because it was going to affect her life. But she had big regrets about doing it, right? And then she had suppressed it and forgotten about it and kind of went on her merry way. And then, you know, seeing my son in my arms really triggered it for her.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really want to be around pregnant people right now, so
that's okay.
Normal, but
you know, when my mother passed away, I didn't want to be around older people for a while. I did go around older people, but I found it a little difficult because they were like 20 years older than my mom, and I was like, but then I came to understanding. It was just, you know, grief, part of grief process. You know, I didn't want to go to parties.
Right.
Even though I did go because, you know, I felt like I had to do it. But, yeah, it's okay to grieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still going through that whole process. So, but, you know, some days are really good and other days are, like, not so good. I mean, not terrible, but I just feel like I'm lucky that I know what I'm feeling, and I want to feel those emotions. I don't want to be numbed by any kind of medication or anything, because I think that could be unhealthy too. I mean, not that some people need medication, because there are lots of people who need it, but I try to control it myself and know what I'm feeling and try to understand what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it. And
it's okay to cry, too, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've done a lot of that. Yes, it is. My sister just found out she was having a girl, and she was about a week ahead of me. So that'll be a trigger for the rest of my life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's not going to be. But the thing is, you don't have to let it be a trigger.
Yeah,
only if you want to allow it to be a trigger, you can shift that energy if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? I just focus on healing yourself right now.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've been doing. I'm not really around a whole lot of people.
And that's
okay. I only talk to, a few certain people that understand and have gone through it. And I try to stay away from the people who haven't gone through it or don't know what to say or say the wrong thing, because a lot of times
even nurses can say the wrong things. Because I remember when I went into the hospital when I was losing a child, this nurse said something really ignorant to me, and I was a nurse, and I just didn't even bother saying anything back, you know. But I thought, you know what, you're working with women that are going through this, and you're saying stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even repeat what she said because it was so, it would really upset you. But,
I know,
you know, there are people out there that just have no clue.
No. They just don't have any empathy. I think that a lot of people just lack empathy. If there's anything I've learned from my experiences.
But that just means they don't
have
higher chakras open. They don't have their heart chakra open. Yeah.
Okay.
Or their upper heart chakra open. They may have to do with something that they're suppressing something within themselves, and so they don't have to feel emotion. So that's why I say it's really important that we do feel emotion. You know, a lot of people that don't feel for other people, it's because they're wounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like people who kill other people, you're saying, too?
I worked in psychiatry for 20 years, so I've had a lot of experience with people, you know, going through
like
many different...
sociopathic...
Yeah, but it's just because they don't have the upper heart open. You know, like a lot of the sociopaths, they only have like four chakras open. Everything else closed. Yeah. The crown chakra is not open at all.
My sister is going through it. Well, she's been going through a divorce for 4 years, and her ex is a sociopath for sure. I mean, he's... He, like, had an affair, had another kid while they were married. He's stolen her identity, been in and out of jail. He just has no remorse for anything that he's done.
Yeah.
And my sister tried to get away. She tried to leave the state, and the court ordered her back. So, you know, because they have a kid together, and he's, you know, she's trying to get the situation up. And I just, I don't even know what to say to her. Like, I've never been there. I don't know what to do.
Well, all you
got to
do is just listen. That's all you can do.
Right. Yeah, because I can't give her any advice. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a totally different state, totally different rules and regulations, and it's just, I feel bad for her because we're both, like, really, like, we both have the same feeling about, I mean, we're both very empathetic people, compassionate, caring. I mean, she's very connected to her higher self and everything.
Yeah.
And for her to have to go through this life like this,
well, sociopaths
I feel
are attracted
so bad.
To people like that, right? Because they're the ones that...
Because they can manipulate them or something?
Oh, yeah. That's
okay.
Not a
That's
good
what
thing.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not. And, you know, before they even got married or had any kids, she left him. And I'm just like, well, she should have, you know, she should have listened to her inner voice. She should have listened to her intuition and left him. I mean, what was she thinking?
Like you said, maybe there was something she had to, they had a past
experience.
Life together. There was something
That's
she had.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, like,
but,
she screwed him over in a past life. Now he's screwing her over. Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know. And does it really matter? I think what matters is your stuff, right?
Right.
Dealing with that.
Yeah. It's like everybody else in my family is dealing with their own, like, I don't know how else to describe it, but they all have either emotional issues, depression or anxiety, and I'm like, why was I even put into this family? Because I'm like nothing like them. It's so weird.
Well,
like
I know
don't
that.
Fit in with them.
Yeah. But it's, we put ourselves in these positions to have that experience.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of is like,
but
what am I supposed to learn?
We can say
from
we
this?
Don't want it anymore and we can shift things. You know, being around certain people, if you have to be around them, be around them for a certain amount of time and then don't.
Right.
Try
yeah.
to be around people that are good and positive for you. And you know.
Yeah, and I live 2 hours away from most of my family, except for my dad, but I don't see him on a regular basis. But my other family, I guess I would say my mom, and she's dealt with a lot of issues her whole life. She's had a really rough life, so I'm like, ugh.
I know a lot of people put themselves in situations because they like the endorphin rush they get from...
The drama. Uh-huh.
The drama, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, I think that...
A lot
that,
of people have done
family.
That. And it's, you know, knowing and realizing and saying, hey, you know, I don't want to be part of this anymore. That's what we're making decisions right now. Humanity is making decisions.
Yeah.
Like, let's... Well, I only got about 11 minutes left, and I may go over a little bit, but I wanted to talk about some more animal totems. But
oh, yeah.
I just want to say to you that it's okay to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And some people may not understand, and that's okay, too, because that's who they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as we understand and as we
feel
and we acknowledge our own feelings.
Yep.
That's what's important. But it sounds like you've
well,
got a pretty
you.
Understanding husband. And,
I do. You know. He's like, I'm too old to have another one. So that is out of the question. He's actually going in to have a second vasectomy at the end of September. So hopefully.
Well, he doesn't want you to go through that again, you know.
No, I think he's fearful of it now, you know.
Okay, yeah.
The whole idea, so. Yeah. Well, thank you
but
for
you can
listening.
Always adopt. I know a lot of people don't like to adopt, but, you know, if you feel like you can help another child and you want to do it, and he's okay with it, you know.
No, we talked about
do
that.
That.
He is not okay with that either.
Okay.
thank you.
Or do a career where you can work with children.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
That's okay.
I never thought that I would do that. I always, you know, thought I'd be a business, just a businesswoman, you know, in business. That's what I was always good at. But I don't know, something different about kids.
Yeah, and that's okay.
They're so pure.
My daughter works with kids. She loves it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to help out in the school a lot this year and for years
yeah,
to come, so that will help.
Yeah. And I've done that
all
myself.
Right.
You know, I've been a nurse. I've been a whole bunch of different things. But I used to go and help out with my kids' school, and I'd
mm-hmm.
help out with mathematics. You know,
what kind of nurse
have.
Were you? Were you a RN?
I've been all sorts of types, and I've worked in every area of nursing. Holistic,
okay.
Psychiatric, every type of physical thing you can think of. I've got a lot of experience in that, but I do earth healing right now, and I'm more into a holistic type of medical thing now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was saying one of her friends that's a nurse is struggling so much that he has to be on medication now, and he feels like he's called to, like, maybe kind of like a hospice nurse situation, so for the end of life.
Well, some people
and a
are
friend of mine.
That. I've worked in
yeah.
that area, too.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
But he just feels like he's so burnt out on what he's doing now, so he's thinking of switching. And a friend of mine, the friend that has been such a good support through my miscarriage, because she's had two,
mm-hmm.
so she understands. But she is called. She feels like she's called to do that too. She's always wanted to be like a funeral director, which is kind of weird. But
you know what? Maybe something that may shift your interest. You know, your experience, every experience. If you can find something positive
yeah.
out of it, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm going to go. And
well,
I
have a good day.
For calling back.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no
well,
problem.
Well, you know, it's not an easy thing to go through. I found it
it's
very
not.
Difficult, you know, and it's okay
yeah.
to feel like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, it takes time.
Yep.
So give yourself that time.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening.
Okay. We'll call back some other time, too.
Okay, I will.
Okay, I'm just going to talk about some animal totems quick.
Yep.
I always seem to do that,
okay.
kind of ram them in there at the end. Jam them in there at the end. Okay, take care. Okay, let me see. I was going to talk about, see if I have a little bit of time to do that. You know how animals fit in, you know, in prehistoric times, people put things in caves about animals and made them almost look human-like, right? So they were talking about how parts of us are manifested in animals around us. And if we can look at animal totems and read them, it helps us with our potential and how changes or how, you know, we can do things differently. And, you know, I was talking about how these are times where we look at doesn't work and what hasn't worked. And, you know, the trees, I was talking about trees being healing and being part of that feminine energy because they have water energy. And I was talking to a maple tree today. I know it sounds funny. Balanced practical expression of psychic promise, you know, and the trees speak to me. Plants speak to me. Just trying to see if snapdragons, I have a lot of those around lately, will force creative expression and clairaudience. So opening up to that. I have a lot of lavender, magic, love, protection, healing, and vision. So what we have around us is a reflection of what we are within us, you know. Rose, love, strength through silence and passion. You know, maybe the rabbits were eating those for a reason. You know, they're feeling that it represented love and stuff. You know, I was talking a little bit about rocks and things and stones. You know, when stones are created under the earth and then mountains pull up out of the earth, you know, some strange stones that people may have never seen before, or some, you know, things like crystals that were deep within the earth get revealed, right? And things are being revealed, things that have never been revealed before, like different stones. It says rocky terrain can reflect many possibilities. So there again, we're talking about possibilities again. All colored by the totem and its activity within that area. It's on page 64 of Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. Rocks have been depicted in history and myth as obstacles that need to be climbed over. They're never symbols for the true self. So different rocks and stones have different meanings, each within its own unique qualities. Rocky terrains, especially high upon mountains, were often considered the dwelling places of gods and goddesses because they were inaccessible. On the other hand, though they can reflect solidness, stability, and sturdiness, they can be a point from which you gain a new perspective. So if you're in an area or you have obstacles, you know, maybe when you're walking through the woods and you're feeling that you have blockages or things, like touch a stone. And touch a tree, because trees allow us to express ourselves and to be aware of our multidimensionality. So they go here, and the animals, we begin by looking at animals, but we do not stop there. It's truly when we want to know and understand the divine and how it is expressing itself, because, you know, that divine energy was suppressed. It does express itself in the creation that we've created around ourselves. So nature should also examine the environment in which the totem is discovered. In the course of your life, you will encounter a range of habitats, climates, and animals. And all these will be saying something to you. So what are the characteristics and qualities of the animal totem? Is it migratory, endemic to the area? So butterflies, you know, some places they migrate to, right? So what does that mean? Freedom, change. And the symbolic nature of the habitat in which you encounter your totem. You know, just like it said, the symbolic thing is it reflects possibilities and sturdiness and strength. What is the climate condition in which it appeared? Where does it usually season? What is the environment animal saying to you and about your life? You know, I talked one day about working with bird medicine. You know, birds represent the magic and the lightness within humanity. You know, I had a dream a while back that I was like a robin. I felt like I didn't see myself as a bird, but I felt that energy. But I was learning to fly, and I was teaching myself to fly. We all have strength within ourselves. So I just wanted to mention that. I've been seeing a lot of doves lately, and there was doves coming to my door. So that represents, you know, peace and the cycle of power of dawn and dusk, which is a magical time, and the feminine energy and, you know, of prophecy. So just be aware of the animals around you. The lady who called in said that her husband's seeing eagles all the time. It's just part of the energy that he represents or part of who he is. And the raven, I've been seeing a lot of them lately. And, you know, the magic of the color within the raven, they shift and the shape-shifting and the creation and us opening up to that creative energy. 187 of Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. The raven is one of those birds that has tremendous amount of lore and mythology. It's a bird of birth and death and the bird of mysticism and magic. I just want to say that, you know, maybe because you've experienced what you've gone through, like the death of a child or the miscarriage, that your husband's seeing this raven, there could be a reason behind it. Raven was considered unclean and a scavenger, and it's one of the foods listed as forbidden in the Bible. It's one of the birds that Noah set out of the flood, but it did not return. Maybe, you know, it represents that dark side of humanity and the magical part of humanity that they released. It's just said God, the Norse god Odin, had a pair of ravens who were his messengers. The names were Hugin, Thought, and Munin, memory. So thought and memory was something that humanity didn't always have, okay? But we can shape-shift the way we think of things and how we, you know, we can choose to feel emotion in extremes, or we can choose to look at them and balance the emotion, but to actually really feel the emotion, it's okay to do that. And it's important that we do that and we don't compartmentalize it or suppress, because it shows somewhere else. You've heard of fugue, where people disappear and they are so upset that they don't remember who they are even. You know, that's extreme to the extreme. Anyway, it goes on that the raven has is related to the coyote. You know, they're symbols that go together. And the coyote was a trickster and the wise being. And this is true, the mantis and the tails. And it just says that, you know, the raven has the same aura about him. In the Pacific Northwest, ravens brought forth life and order. Ravens stole the sunlight from one who would keep the world in darkness. So in order to protect humanity, the raven took the light. But we're getting that light back. So, you know, when you look at a raven, they have all these different colors going through the blackness, okay? The light is hidden within that. So raven is honored in art and totem poles, reflecting the tales and mysticism that developed through it. With raven, human, and animal spirits intermingle and become as one. You know, I think the lady was talking about eagles, though. You know, eagles being the light and the dark with the bald whiteness on is a little different. So because this can, the raven can help you shape-shift your life or your being. It's just transmuting energy. You know, humanity doesn't realize the power they have or that they can work with energy to change things around them. I was out one day and somebody said to me that was with me that it's so quiet. And I said, well, I chose to express myself and say that I can make the leaves rustle, and I was making different leaves rustle at different times. But this person wasn't open to taking this information, so they actually kind of freaked out a little bit and then never remembered that I actually did it. So, you know, a lot of humanity living in 3D are suppressing things, and they don't want to see things that go beyond their box. You know, like I was talking about on last week's show and a bit about on this week's show. This creative force that we have all within us and this suppressed subconscious energy that, for the feminine, that has been suppressed, you know, it somehow was taken out of this physical plane and suppressed within the body. And we've had dream time and visions to be able to open up to that, but not all of us energy. And so my day wake time is a lot more amazing sometimes than even my dream time, okay? If you're seeing a raven, your life may show that magic is at play. Raven activates the energy of magic, linking it with your will and intention. So we're manifestors, we're magi, creative light beings. That's where the, you know, the magi, magician comes from, the word magi. So the humanity is, you know, amazing. And so we can shift the energy. When we go on that meditation tomorrow, when people meditate and see humanity as who they really are and going on, you know, beyond that energy, it's going to be a pretty amazing time. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure if anybody else wants to call in. I may have another room for another call. The number is 646-200-4169. Let me see if I can talk a little bit. Oh, yeah, about Slate. I had an article about Slate. I think that's important. I talk about it because maybe I can talk a little bit about more about the full moon in Aquarius, too. Slate, it comes from, you know, when sedimentary rock gets, layers get made in water and they lay down different layers. And then heat, you know, when more and more earth keeps coming down on top of it, and the heat being deep down in the earth exerts a force on it. You know, people that live in a home sometimes have slate floors, and you know that there's energy coming emanating from this. So, you know, it's like this crystalline energy in stuff like this. So, it's funny. I had that information right in front of me, and it disappeared. So I'm supposed to talk about something else. So, but it's also rigid energy. Okay. This month in astrology keeps popping up. So, for August, 2014. And it's the site www.cafeastrology.com this month in astrology. They talk about the Sun, Mercury, and Jupiter in the sign of Leo, and I talked a little bit about that, how all those different signs and the new moon that was really influential on July 26th, the Leo new moon that gives power. And Venus will enter Leo on the 12th, so that energy is going to be pretty powerful too. It's going to allow us the feminine and to take the feminine energy, become more powerful. It's important that what we do comes from the heart at this time, but from the divine heart, okay? So when we use the energy from the divine heart, we do what is right in the moment, okay? So this energy that we're going to open up to and meditate for is really important right at this time, and opening our creative energy. So we may aim to allow our inner child to come out and play, and possibly, so this is being a child, but also being committed to do what we have to do to create here, okay? Because it still is a feminine, or it's feminine, masculine, and a physical realm. You know, I was saying that some people were unable to do sports, but recently they're going, wow, I have this energy, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. So they're talking here about Mercury, Venus, and the Moon join Jupiter on the 2nd, and the 17th, the 19th, and the 23rd, respectively. So it's coming in and out, and this allows us to access that energy, to open ourselves up to a creative part of ourselves, and the child, the loving part, okay? And that's going to really help humanity in these next few days. So Mercury passes the Sun this month, and we are moving from impulsive creative thinking to more objective approach to processing and communicating. And, you know, I was talking about how we're going from working within ourselves and working without ourselves now with other people to become more of a collective consciousness, and this is really going to start full force. So this meditation is really important for that too. A full moon occurs in the sign of Aquarius on the 10th, and we're reminded of our needs for friendship, community, and some level of impartiality and objectivity. So, you know, we do feel emotion. It's important that we do feel it, but it's also important that we don't play into crap that people dish our way. We can express ourselves, but we need to remove ourselves from situations if it gets, you know, beyond that. And it's about focus and keeping focus on those larger goals that we have, you know. And I was talking last week a little bit about this quincunxes on Jupiter, quincunxes Neptune on the 15th, and there can be difficulties with limits and boundaries. You know, the shape, the four corners in the middle shape. But we go beyond that because we're ascending. It's important to feel focused. It's important to feel your power, that Leo power, that feminine energy power. There'll be a strong need for a lot of people to suddenly start helping other people. But it's important to also stick to that collective consciousness where we, you know, are pulling together to shift the way things are done here, but in a positive way, okay? We can change a lot of how things are done here, and we don't have to use, you know, the earth, the blood of the earth, you know, oil and that sort of thing. We can shift things and power the way we see things. And, you know, in a way, you know, I was talking about sacrifice, blood sacrifice, how it was a gift. You know, in a way, us using the earth for energy, the earth is a living being. Somebody did tests on the oil when it came out of the earth, and it had things like blood. So it is a living, you know, part of the earth. A lot of people don't know that, but I guess maybe if more people knew that, they wouldn't be using it, though they do it, and processing it, heating it up and stuff. It's important that we stay grounded, even though we are opening ourselves up to this collective consciousness and cosmic consciousness. This new moon has been really important for us, but the next new moon in Virgo on the 25th is going to open up our opportunities to take charge of our lives. And, you know, even though we have been, opening up spiritually and different things like that, we are still on the planet here. So to have that focus and to have that organization. The sun continues to transit Leo, and, you know, I've been talking about that and the power that we have within ourselves. And they go into a lot of things about the sun trines Uranus and Aries, and we can successfully act on our hunches. Sun moves into practical, detailed consciousness, Virgo on the 23rd. So, you know, there's a lot going on. But, you know, it all comes down to being what's going on within us, okay? So there's so many things. If you're interested in that, just go and take a look. It'll give you a little bit more information and may relate to how you're feeling. You know, people are generally keying into things. And but, you know, that Capricorn energy that's going to be is on today can maybe be a little detached, but it's important that we really look at our, that part of ourselves that's focused with the earth. And Aquarius is the water sign, so that energy that's healing, you know. I'll try to get that slate stuff. I have a couple more minutes left. I think I can squeeze in here. The Blarney Stone, you know, the Blarney Stone's made out of limestone, which slate is a hardened form of that. Anyways, this is a Wikipedia definition of slate. I keep getting information about slate. That's why I'm talking about it. It's a fine-grained, foliated, homogeneous, metamorphic, derived from original shale-type sedentary rock composed of clay or volcanic ash, though low-grade regional metamorphism. And, there is some layering in it, but there is some crystallization within it, too. Very strong. A lot of people like the way it looks, and there's... they might use it for floors. Some people use it for writing. And, the phrase clean slate and blank slate comes from the usage of this. And it's composed of quartz, muscovite, or illite, often with biotite, chlorite, hematite, and pyrite, and less frequency, apatite, graphite, kaolinite, magnetite, tourmaline, zircon, and feldspar. And occasionally in the purple states of North Wales, ferrous reduction spheres form around iron nuclei, leaving a light green spotted texture. These spheres sometimes deform by subsequent applied stress field to avoids, which appear as eclipses when viewed on a cleavage plane of a specimen. So people have been using it for years. Some people use it for tombstones. It's been used for many, many years. It's abundant in Brazil, produce a lot of it around there. I know that around Owen Sound they have a lot of it. Some people use it for tile work, you know, especially in Germany and European places like that. But the reason why I'm mentioning it, because I just see the many layers that we've had and the hardening. And the release, there's some type of energy being released within humanity. Anyway, I should end the show now. And it's important that we just be open. We go deep and work within ourselves, but we also be open to the energy that's coming for group, mass, meditation as a collective, and open ourselves up to that energy, because it's really going to start to shift. So much love to you all, and enjoy. enjoy and be love and be that light being in the moment. Okay? Take care now. Much love.
Thank you for listening to This Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger, bringing awareness to our world of greater love. For more information on Diane, please visit www.facebook.com/dbachberger1. May your heart and mind always be open to experiencing a greater world.